Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and from verse 26 to 29. Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29. I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own." Okay? The earth produces the crops on its own. Here, Jesus is trying to let us understand that there is a programming in the system that responds to a seed when it is sown. The earth produces the crops on its own. Okay, first a leaf blade pushes through, then the head of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. So Jesus is trying to teach us that there is a system, there is a programming, okay? The farmer doesn't need to monitor the seed. He doesn't need to go and check, oh, is it growing? Is it this? Is it that? No. There is a system. When the soil is right and the seed is right, the conditions are right, when you plant a seed, it is only a matter of time you will reap a harvest. Now, how long it takes before you reap a harvest depends on several factors. The most dominant factor on how long it takes before you reap a harvest will be the kind of seed that you have sowed. Okay, so somebody that plants beans or any kind of legume, or somebody that plants corn or millet or guinea corn, okay, they only have to wait, what, 3-4 months, and then they have a harvest, right? And someone else planted mango. You see, the timing of your harvest depends a lot on the kind of seed that you have sown. Okay, so we must not judge if we are productive or if we are blessed or if we are prosperous by other people's lives and situations. We must resist the temptation to do that, because seeds are different. Soils are different. Conditions are different. So as much as the soil, for instance, banana, what determines when it produces, apart from the seed, a lot will be the soil and how much water is available and things like that. So it can take 8 months sometimes, but it can take twice that amount of time if the conditions are not right. But it is important that we are aware that different seeds produce at different rates. Okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter 1 from verse 11. We read it last week. We'll just read it again. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 11. It says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So every seed produces after its own kind. Every seed produces after its own kind. So if you plant mango, you reap mango. If you plant pawpaw, you reap pawpaw. This is a general principle, all right? So it's important that we have that somewhere in our minds. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So again, as long as the earth remains, sowing and reaping will not cease. Okay? You will never outgrow it. You will never be too anointed for it. You will never, even in the millennium, there will be sowing and reaping. Okay? Even in the millennium, when Jesus comes to reign on the earth and us with him, there will be sowing and reaping. So as long as this earth, as we have it now, in this shape and fashion remains, sowing and reaping is a law that will remain. So the blood of Jesus does not undo it. As a matter of fact, it is Galatians 6:7, which says that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 was written by Paul, and that was after the cross, okay? So the cross does not cancel the law of sowing and reaping. It does not cancel it. Again, there's a reason I am saying this, so let's have it in our mind somewhere, because we'll look at some things later. Okay, so there is always a time and a process between sowing and reaping. And the amount of time sometimes depends on, in fact, most times depends on the kind of seed that you have sown. Okay, so to keep reaping, one must keep sowing. Now, let me explain something. You don't sow once. Maybe you sow one big seed once and you're like, this seed for the rest of my life, I don't need to sow any other seed again. I know people make that mistake, but this is how it works, okay? So, remember the illustration earlier. You plant a mango seed. It might take 5 years before it begins to bear fruit, but you can eat of that tree for the rest of your life. Your children will eat of it. Your children's children will eat of it. Okay, so there are seeds that are in that class, that the dividends are transgenerational. All right, but the thing is this: with a mango, its fruit is seasonal. It gives fruit in its season, right? So there's a period in a year that the mango tree will bear fruit. After that, you don't get any fruit from it until the next season. Okay, now, so you can't say, oh, I planted mango, I planted cashew, I have planted this once and for all for me and my children and my grandchildren. It means you are only going to be eating maybe 3 or 4 months in a year, which means you may not survive to see the next harvest. Okay, so if you want to eat on a daily basis, you have to plant those smaller seeds that are the grains, the beans, the corn, the granite, the rice, those things that, now this is not an agri, of course we know this is not an agri science class, we know that these are spiritual principles that I'm talking about, but just for the avoidance of doubt, okay? Because, you know, Jesus used natural laws, natural things to explain spiritual things, and that's the same thing that we're doing here. So, simply because you sowed one mega seed once, and you know that this seed that you have sowed, your generation will, you know, will reap of the seed. It doesn't mean that you have sowed one seed once and for all. You're going to have to keep giving in your life if you are going to keep having harvests that will sustain you until the time that your big seed is yielding a big harvest. Okay? And we make these mistakes a lot, okay? So maybe you go to Shiloh. Let me use that example. And you give a huge Shiloh sacrifice. Fantastic. But then you believe that, oh yeah, this sacrifice that I have given, I don't, in fact, this is the seed of all seeds. I don't need to, you know, give ever again. You know, I can always count on that seed that I have sowed. It really doesn't work like that. It really doesn't work like that. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. We have to keep sowing so that we can keep reaping. We have to keep sowing so that we can keep reaping. It is a continuous process. We never come to a point where we retire from giving. We never come to a point where we have given enough. It's just like, no matter how much you eat today, no matter how much you eat, you will need to eat again tomorrow. All right? No matter how much you eat today, you will need to eat again tomorrow. It's just as simple as that. There are certain things that are laws and, you know, they are recurrent. It's just like, recurrent expenditure. No matter how much you've spent on this and that, there are certain things that you need to keep repeating. You need to keep doing. You need to keep doing in order to stay alive. And I have seen that a lot of Christians make this mistake. Beginning of the year, they give one major seed, okay, which is fantastic. But then the rest of the year, they're like, no, I've sowed my seed for this year till next year. And then you're wondering why you're struggling financially. It might just be that you have planted a mango tree that only yields fruit once in a year. Okay, but you need to eat rice, you need to eat beans, you need to eat these other things. In order for you to do that, you need to plant them. And you need to plant them, you know, on a rolling basis if you are going to keep feeding. Okay, it's just the same way spiritually. All right, so we must never stop sowing. We must never stop sowing. And please, when I talk about sowing, right, this is all encompassing. It's not just about money. It's not just about towards financial prosperity. And we're going to unpack it in a few minutes, right? Because what we're talking about here tonight, the law of sowing and reaping, has to do with everything, all right? The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. It wasn't limited to anything. So this has to do with things we give. This has to do with things we do. This has to do with our attitude. This has to do with absolutely everything. All right? Absolutely everything. So let's not streamline it and say, oh, okay, we're talking about money today. No, we're not talking about money. We're talking about sowing. And sowing is beyond money. All right? We'll have a look at some of the other things very soon. Okay? So as a general principle, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." That he will also reap. In Job chapter 4, and verse 8, if you have your Bible, you can turn there quickly. Let's take a look at other kinds of sowing that reflect what Galatians 6:7 is talking about. We'll take a look at a few scriptures. Job chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, they reap the same." So you see, this is a universal law. It's not just talking about good deeds. It's talking about good and bad. It's talking about substance and attitude. It's talking about thoughts and actions. You know, Paul said, if you sow into the spirit, you will of the spirit reap life. If you sow into the flesh, you will of the flesh reap death. Okay? So it's all encompassing. It's a very broad law. And Job is telling us that even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, they reap the same. Now let's look again. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8. Proverbs 22 and verse 8. It says, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Let's look at one more scripture in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy." You see that? Sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Verse 13 says, "Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." So as a general rule, if you don't like your harvest, check your seed. If you don't like your harvest, if you don't like the things that are coming your way, if you don't like the things that people do to you, how people treat you. Now, I am not saying, there's place for persecution. We know that. Jesus did not beat anybody up, but he was beaten, okay? So, you know, in our world today, there's a need to always balance things out, because you can't just say one thing, even though people know that, you know, there's a context to what you're saying. They can just easily fly and say, oh, what about this, what about that? So as much as possible, I try to just, you know, balance things out. But if I do forget, I know that most of us here, you know my heart, and you know I mean no evil, okay? So I am not saying that bad things don't happen to good people, okay? Jesus did not sin, but people treated him badly. So we know when there is persecution. But, you know, Peter said that it's all right when we suffer for doing good, but we don't get any praise or reward if we suffer for doing bad. So there are two kinds of suffering. There are people that suffer for doing good. That is called persecution. And when you are being persecuted, you know that you've done nothing wrong and you're being persecuted. But there are people that suffer, and most people, actually, especially people that are not believers, they suffer. It's not persecution. If you're not a believer, it's not persecution, all right? It's believers that, people that are in Christ that suffer persecution. People that are unbelievers, it's not persecution. It's just seed time and harvest, all right? They have sowed the wind and they have reaped the whirlwind. It's as simple as that, okay? So when you see people complain and these, oh, I don't know why this keeps happening to me, I don't know why that keeps happening to me, you know, sometimes it's important for us to go back and check our seeds. I know of pastors that broke out of a church in a very horrible manner, moved away with half the members, went and started their own church, and for a few years it looked like things were going all right, until their own assistant pastor did the same thing to them. Of course, I'm sure we all know, you know, stories and instances like that. So a lot of times, and it's not just about bad things. If you feel like enough good is not coming your way, you may just need to check your seeds. You may just not be sowing enough good. All right? The quality of your seed determines the quality of your harvest. It's as simple as that. Remember, we reap what we sow, and every seed produces after its own kind. Now, guess what? Volume matters. How much we are sowing matters. How much we sow matters. Let's read a few scriptures very quickly. Okay, this was not in my notes, but it just came to my heart. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 first, before it evaporates from my head. Ecclesiastes 11 from from verse 6. It says, "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." All right? In the morning sow your seed. In the evening don't withhold your hand. Like Solomon is saying, keep sowing. Keep sowing. You know, you don't know which one will be good, whether this or that or both of them alike, but just keep sowing, okay? Volume matters. Volume matters. Let's look at a few other scriptures. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus speaking said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Now, Jesus was not necessarily talking about money. He was also talking about the general principle of sowing and reaping, okay? So he's saying, give, whatever it is, give. If it is goodness, give. If it is mercy, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, okay? So if it is mercy, give. If it is goodness, give. If it is kindness, give. If it is substance, give. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The same measure. So if you want to see volume, give in volumes. So if you want to be receiving financial favor all the time, then you need to be sowing financial favor all the time. Okay, let's look at another scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse and verse 6, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now let's look at another translation, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. It says, remember this, New Living Translation, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but he who plants generously will get a generous crop. The Message Translation says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. So, volume matters. Okay, so remember this, the quality of your seed determines the quality of your harvest, and volume matters. So, I need to say something here. Someone might say, okay, well, what if I don't have a lot of volume? You see, God does not judge your volume based on what you give. Man might judge it that way, but God does not judge your volume based on what you give. God judges your volume based on what you have. Okay? This is important. God does not judge your volume based on what you give. He judges your volume based on what you have. To whom much is given, much will also be required. Okay? To whom less is given, less will be required. Remember in the temple, in Mark, is it Mark chapter 12 now? Jesus was at the temple, Mark 12 or Mark 11, not sure. But he was at the temple and people were giving, you know, and he was looking. And then a woman came and dropped in 2 mites. And other people, and you know, they came and they were giving generously. And Jesus said, that woman has given more than all of them. Why? Because that was all she had. But other people had given out of their abundance. It's not like God did not appreciate their giving. But that woman, she was not sowing her seed. She was casting her bread on the water. You know, there's a difference. When you sow your seed, I mean, no farmer plants his food, right? No farmer plants his food. When you know, it's just like my mom, when she does her farming thing, you know, then she selects some of the best seeds to replant, all right? And then they eat the rest, okay? So no farmer actually plants his food. You plant seed, but then there is bread. Bread is, you know, Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the water and you shall find it after many days. Bread is, and it's a different level of giving. That is a sacrifice, because when you give your bread, you are going to starve and you are going to be uncomfortable for a while. When you sow a seed, you don't starve. You are giving out of your abundance, okay? But when you cast your bread, you are going to be in trouble for a while. Those other people that were given in the temple, they were giving seeds. This woman literally cast her bread, okay, because that was all she had. And Jesus said, rightly so, that this woman has given more than everybody else. So God does not judge your volume based on what you give. He judges your volume based on what you have. Okay, so it's an offering that might be acceptable from someone else may not be acceptable from me, because God expects more from me because He has given me more capacity. All right, but whatever your capacity is, make sure that what you are giving to God is reflective of it, is reflective of your best. Okay, not just what you give to God, even what you give to people. I remember a story. Kenneth Copeland was giving a jet away, and then he told the person, "The Lord has asked me to give you this jet, but just give me a few months. I need to change the wheels. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. I need to fix this." And Jerry Savile, who was working with Kenneth Copeland at the time, was a bit confused. He was like, "You're already giving this jet away. Why do you still need to go through all of this trouble?" And he said, "The quality of your seed determines the quality of your harvest. If I give out a jet in a very good condition, I will receive a harvest of jets in very good conditions." Okay, but if you keep giving out broken down cars, you may just be setting yourself up for harvest of broken down cars. If you keep giving out, you say, "Oh, I am sowing, but you are giving people things that you don't need, things that are of no value to you. Don't be surprised if people are also giving you lots of things that are of no value. All right? Because every seed produces after its own kind. If you give useless seeds, you will receive a useless harvest. There's a question here. Timotheus said, "Our Bible teaches to give cheerfully. Now, you'd agree with me, there are some pastors that could talk you into giving even though you didn't want to. Like, they could pry into your emotions and make you give. Now, does such giving have reward? And again, should giving be done on a revelation, Holy Spirit leading base, or just give irrespective?" Now, first of all, yes, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think verse 8. All right. But the Bible also says in Psalm 126 and verse 5 that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Okay, so yes, God loves a cheerful giver, but it doesn't mean that He hates a tearful giver. Sometimes the giving is not convenient. Sometimes it's going to sting. That's the truth. Sometimes it's going to sting, especially when that is your bread. Okay, so that is out of the way. All right, either way, whether you are cheerful or you are tearful, give. But giving should be spirit leading based, and it should be faith based. Don't let anybody manipulate you into giving. You won't get a reward like that, except you really did it in faith. But if you just did it so that your pastor won't feel bad, or so that the pastor won't feel bad, you just made a donation. But in fact, the Bible says anything done outside of faith is sin. So you can give in sin. No, that's what the Bible says. Anything done outside of faith is sin. So if you're giving, it has to be that you are led by the Spirit, you know, and that you are doing it in faith. Forget all those things. They don't move me, in all honesty. It's when I was younger, you know, somebody will preach a sermon and you are angry, you are feeling left out that you don't have something to give. You know, but the truth is, God has never asked anybody to give what they don't have. God has never asked anybody to give what they don't have. Okay? And those days in the university, some preachers will come. Students that are surviving on pocket money of 2,000 naira, 3,000 naira per month. They'll come and, you know, preach some kinds of sermons and then work some kind of magic and fake prophecies. And then they'll say, "You know, all this prophesying that I have done, it's not going to work. It's not going to work on your life if you don't sow into it." And then we really don't have money. But we'll be feeling bad, you know, want to borrow money, want to sell something, you know, just to sow into this fake anointing. You know, but we need to outgrow that and not let anybody cajole us. Okay, good question, big man. Very good question. Now, big man is asking, should we always give with the expectation of receiving? Now, yes and no. Let me explain. It's yes and no. The motivation for giving shouldn't be solely because we want to receive. Okay? The motivation for giving shouldn't be because we want to receive. It should be because we love. It should be... It's just like Solomon. Solomon did not give to God because he wanted something. He gave to God because he loved God. But did he get a harvest or not? Absolutely. Okay? So, on the one hand, we should... Our giving should not be motivated by harvest. You know, God is not our heavenly banker. He's not a forex trader. He's our heavenly Father. So when we give to God, when we give to people, the motivation should be love. The motivation should be love. However, at the end of the day, as a matter of spiritual law, okay? As a matter of spiritual law, if you sow, you will reap. Okay, so there's nothing wrong in having an expectation because it is a matter of law. Let me put it this way. If you drink lots of water, you are going to pee eventually, right? Even if it's at night, right? You're going to pee eventually. Now, did you drink the water because you wanted to pee? Not necessarily. But peeing is just a natural consequence of the fact that you drank water. You may have drank the water because you were thirsty, because you were feeling dehydrated, because something was choking you, because you were having indigestion, because it was hot. You know, you were drinking lots and lots and lots of water for so many different reasons. But eventually, you are going to have to pee because it is a natural consequence of drinking lots of water. So, like I was saying, volume matters. If you want more favor, favor others. If you want more goodness in your life, do good to others. If you want more kindness, be kind to others. If you love pleasant surprises, then surprise people, okay? Look, it's a principle. Whatever you want to see lots of it in your life, do lots of it for other people. It's as simple as that. This is a universal law. It's a predictable consequence of an act. It is predictable. You can predict it. If I throw this thing up, it comes down. All right? If I throw it up a million times, it comes out a million times. As long as I am within the sphere of the law of gravity, the end result is predictable. So if you want more of anything, give more of it. Sow more of it. Be kinder to people. Be nicer to people. You know, surprise people. Do stuff for people that they are not expecting. Okay? You want to be seeing money in your account that you did not even expect. Do that for people. Okay? It's a seed. You want to be seeing airtime that you were not expecting. Do it for people. It's a seed. Help people get jobs. Just be good to people. Just be nice to people. It's a seed. It may not... And remember what I said. Sometimes the seeds we sow are not even... We are not the ones that will eat of the tree. It's our children and their children after them. Okay? But let me try and run through this now. Okay? So talking about harvest, it is possible to miss your harvest. All right? So Temitayo, that takes me to your question. It is possible to miss your harvest. And we'll read three scriptures and then I'll try to explain them very quickly. Number one, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. But then there's a clause, if we faint not. All right? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. So there are certain harvests that manifest in their due season. And you will only reap of that when you do not faint. Okay? Let's read another scripture. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. Proverbs 10:5. It says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So it is possible to sleep through your harvest season. It is possible to completely miss your harvest because you are just not awake to it, or you are just asleep. Okay? Could be asleep in the spirit. Could be asleep in the sense of laziness or something. And then the third reason people miss their harvest. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4 to 6. It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, neither this or that, or whether both shall be good alike." So remember, it starts by, "He that observes the wind will not sow, he that observes the cloud will not reap." Okay? A lot of times people don't sow because they are waiting for the perfect condition, the same way people don't reap because they are waiting for the perfect condition. Now I need to explain something very quickly. Mr. Mike said, "Salvation Army gives food to a lot of people in the US and Canada. They get a huge amount of donations. As they give, they get more." Like, you know, Salvation Army is just less than a kilometer from where I am here. And they do all of these things, and, you know, it's just a natural law. Now, I need to explain something about seeds. The Bible says God gives seeds to the sower and bread to the eater. Like I said earlier, seed is something that is raw. Okay? Sometimes you can get it back in a form that you can use it immediately, but sometimes it comes in a form that it needs to be processed before it becomes bread. Let me explain. So if you sow money and you get money back tenfold, hundredfold, fantastic. Money is something that you can always use. But there are some kinds of seeds that you sow that they come back to you in a way that you still need to go through a process before it materializes as bread. For you to have bread, the wheat needs to be processed, or the corn, or whatever is used to make the bread, needs to go through a process before it becomes bread that you can eat. It's the same way sometimes we sow seeds and then we get our harvest in a form of a relationship that needs to be nurtured for it to produce bread. Or we get our harvest in the form of a job that needs to be nurtured for it to produce bread. Or we get our harvest in form of a contract, or just an open door or something, okay? And this is what that scripture was saying in Proverbs. Some people actually sleep through their harvest, because when their harvest came, it could have been in form of an idea that would make them a billionaire, but they were sleeping and they were just not alive to it. They were just not sharp to it. And that's why the Bible says the son that sleeps during harvest causes shame, because a lot of times we are expecting, and somebody will say, "Well, didn't you say every seed produces after its own kind?" You see, that is the mistake. God told the children of Israel in the book of Exodus that tomorrow morning I will give you bread. Right? That's what he said. He said, "Tomorrow morning I will give you bread." But then they woke up in the morning and then they saw something on the ground. And they said, "What is this?" You know, manna means "what is this?" That's what manna means. Like, what is this? Because they didn't understand it. They were expecting loaves of bread on the floor, right? But then God gave them something that they could use to bake bread, use to make pancakes, use to make semo, use to make every other kind of food that, you know, that they could eat. And so a lot of times, you know, it's just like Jesus, the Messiah. When he showed up, the people that were expecting him did not recognize him. And so We need to be awake, we need to be sensitive, we need to be sharp, so that we don't miss our harvest when it comes. Because God is actually giving us what He promised, but we need to be sharp and discerning and alive to recognize it and say, this is it. Okay? So sometimes seeds need to be processed before they become bread. In the book of Mark, Jesus talked about, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus gave a parable about a man who leased out his vineyard, and after a while, he sent a servant to go and collect his own share of the harvest, and the servant was beaten, and he sent another one who was beaten, and he kept sending people, and they were either beaten or killed. All right, he kept sending people. Mark chapter 12, you can read the story on your own from verse 1 to 9. And he kept sending people, and they kept beating them. And finally, he said, okay, you know what? I'm going to send my son, and perhaps they are going to honor him. And they're like, aha, this is the heir. Let's kill him, you know. And they killed him. And Jesus said that, the Lord would send his army and destroy those people. Now, we know that parable has a certain significance and perspective. But when I was studying it, I saw something that bothered me, and I was like, why? I was talking to God, I said, why did this man keep sending people even though he knew the fate that would befall them? You sent one, he was beaten. You sent another, he was killed. You sent another, and you keep sending, and you keep sending, and you keep sending. And if we look at it in today's human wisdom, we'll say, oh, that man did not apply wisdom. And I asked the Lord, I said, why? We know it's a parable, but why? And the Lord told me two things. He said, firstly, he was hoping that those people will see the error of their ways, make amends, and he won't have to destroy them. That's number one. And that is not necessarily relevant to what we are talking about tonight. But the second thing that the Lord told me is that God's share of the harvest is important to him. It's so important to him that he was willing to risk so many lives to get his harvest. But he will get his harvest. And we see all what's going on in the world right now, and the persecution and all of that stuff. But God will get his harvest. So if God, that can dissolve the world with a thought and create a new one without saying a word, if God can be that interested in his harvest, then we should too. And honestly, the truth is, a lot of times we have missed out on our harvest because we were not expectant and we were not positioning ourselves for it. But the Bible says that the son that sleeps during harvest is a son that causes shame. It does not honor God for us to miss out on our harvest, because whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not, when you sow, you will reap. Okay, when you sow, you will reap. Whether I like it or not. It's just like you squeeze tomatoes, you go outside and you pour it on the ground. It was not your intention to plant a small garden, but if the soil is good, after a few days, you start seeing tomatoes springing out of the ground. So it's just a law. When you sow, you will reap. And so what do we do? We shouldn't say, the goal was not to reap. Well, there is a harvest anyway, so we might as well just enjoy it and enjoy the faithfulness of God and enjoy, what God is bringing our way. Okay, so Temitayo, to your question, if there will be a reward, if you sow in faith, all right, if you sow in faith, you will always get a reward. Okay, if you sow in faith, you will always get a reward. But if you sow in fear, if you sow because this, that, whatever the case, God is only committed to honoring faith, all right? God is only committed to honoring faith. You can lose out on your harvest completely. I have that in my notes, but because of time, we are not, you know, we are not going to look into it, but you can. I did share some why we miss out on harvest, but it's possible to, you know, get really crappy stuff after sowing good seeds. But that is not for us, actually. That is not our portion in any way. And that's why I am actually comfortable to skip that. So let us take our harvest seriously, just as God takes his harvest seriously. Let's take our harvest seriously. And so if you have sowed some seeds, right, that you know, right, you know that you have not received the harvest of that seed, you have the legal and covenant right to lay a claim to your harvest. All right? The Bible says in Psalm 20 from verse 1 says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices." So there is a place where we can place a demand on our offerings and say, "Lord, remember this, remember that, remember this, remember that. I did not let other people's children starve. I did not, you know, let other people stay homeless." You know, there are times that we need to put God in remembrance and place a demand on our harvest concerning seeds that we have sown in the past. It is scriptural, it is godly, and God expects us to take our harvest seriously. You can do this tonight. Just take a pen, paper, or take a notepad and think, all right? And think, and don't be afraid. God is not going to be offended. Don't be afraid. God is not going to be offended. And think and say, "This seed, this seed, this seed, this seed, this seed. The harvests are due. Lord, I have not seen anything. I am placing a demand on my harvest." But if you don't want it, it's fine. If you don't want it, it's fine. Or if the seed that you have sowed is for your children and their children after them, fantastic. Because there are people that I know about that, you know, they just honored men of God and, you know, ministered to men of God. Anytime a man of God came around to their town, they just blessed men of God and honored them and did all of these wonderful things for them. And as a result, it wasn't them. They lived just normal lives. But their children, today, God has given them like mega global ministries. All right, and God is blessing them in really, really tremendous ways. Jerry Savelle's wife was like that. You know, their parents, anytime a preacher came to town, their parents would take care of the preacher. The preacher would stay in their house because they were not staying in hotels back then. And she, at the time, her own husband was not even born again. Jerry Savelle was not born again, all right? But God went full circle. The man got born again immediately. Went into ministry, and Jerry Savelle has one of the most outstanding ministries in the world today. So there are seeds that we sow that, yes, we know while we are sowing the seeds that this is not for me. This is for my children and their children and their children's children. So, but either way, there is nothing wrong with expecting a harvest or demanding a harvest. There's nothing wrong with it. And it is important we do it so that we are not like the sun that sleeps in the time of